Good morning, Promise family. Look at your neighbor. Look at them square in the eye. Are you all looking? Look at your neighbor and say, God is with you. You can do it. All right. Pastor Henry, thank you so much for the honor. It's always a privilege to stand up here and to share with this amazing group of people. So we're talking today about spiritual squatters. What are they? Where do we find them? And how do we get rid of them? So, a squatter is defined by the dictionary as a person who settles on land or occupies property without title, right, or payment of rent. There's a second definition which was really interesting to me. A person who settles on land under government regulation in order to acquire the title to that property. Yeah, interesting, isn't it? So squatting then is the action of occupying an abandoned or unoccupied area of land or a building, usually residential, that the squatter does not own, rent, or otherwise have legal permission to use. In many of the world's poorer countries, there are extensive slums and their shanty towns. In South Africa, where I come from, they're known as squatter camps or squatter towns. Typically, these are built on the edges of large cities, huge metropolitan areas, and they consist almost entirely of self-constructed houses, and they are built without the landowner's permission. They're built without the landowner's permission, and they start off small, but they expand until they are themselves the size of very large cities. They start off as squats with no infrastructure, no roads, no running water, no sewer system, no trash collection, no electricity. And they will build their squats from whatever they can find. Essentially, what these squatters do is they become parasites on the environment. They use the resources of somebody else to meet their needs. They will normally squat near running water, a river, a stream, or something else where they can tap into the water. If there is electricity in a squatter camp, it's normally stolen from a cable that is running nearby. So they don't do anything legally. They steal everything that is on that land where the squatters are, is stolen. If you can begin to imagine, use your imagination this morning, no sewer. Thousands and thousands of people living on this plot of land. What about no running water? No trash collection. It looks exactly like those pictures of the slums that you're beginning to imagine. Trash piled waist high. Dead dogs lying in the street. The rivers become polluted because nobody ever cleans up. So, the second definition of the squatter that we read was a person who settles on land under government regulation in order to acquire title. This person is squatting on a piece of property as a means to an end. In the United States, and in California in particular, there are things known as squatters' rights. You can Google this, and you can find out exactly how to legally own a piece of property by squatting on it. If you move into an abandoned or empty piece of property and you look after it, in other words, you maintain it and you pay the property taxes for 5 years, that piece of property legally becomes yours. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? I wondered how often can this possibly happen. So I did some research. Way more often than you think. I came across a story of a man who inherited his dad's condo or townhouse in Central California, and he lived up in Northern California. So he came down, emptied the condo, locked it up. He was too far away to deal with renters and left his inheritance in what he thought was a safe state. But he neglected to pay his property taxes. Somebody moved in. 7 years later, he came back. His key didn't work. Another family was living in there. They'd been voting on the homeowners association. They'd fixed the place up. And legally, he did not have a leg to stand on. Can you imagine why? Because he was negligent to protect what is his. So what then are spiritual squatters? Actually, they're no different to natural squatters. A spiritual squatter would be anything or anyone that takes up residence in your life without your permission. Think along the lines of sickness, lack, fear, depression, addiction. Those are squatters that you have neglected to protect what is yours, and they move in. Now, when you get saved, you invite the Holy Spirit to come in and take up residence, correct? You do. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives within you, whom you have received as a gift from God? You are not your own." So the Holy Spirit then becomes a legal resident. And he has rights. The moment you're a legal resident, you have rights. But the thing that the Holy Spirit does that's so awesome is he brings all of his goods and his assets when he moves in. He brings everything that Jesus purchased at the cross and his resurrection. Let me say it this way. God gave us this amazing, superabundant, overflowing life when we got saved. The Holy Spirit moved in, and when he did, he brought with him divine health. He brought divine peace. He brought joy. He brought grace. He brought wisdom. He brought courage. He brought strength. He brought everything you would ever need to meet any area of your life. Anything you would need, the Holy Spirit brought when he moved in. But John 10:10 thinks us, says, and it was so interesting this morning, there's a hand in glove, they kind of just work together, Pastor Henry. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he does. He's looking, and today I'm going to refer to that thief as the squatter, who is looking to move in and steal what is rightfully yours. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "Be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind. Be vigilant and cautious at all times. For that enemy of yours, that squatter, the devil, roams around like a lion in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour." This is like that gentleman who didn't guard his protect and was not vigilant about protecting his inheritance. There is a squatter roaming about, seeking a place to move in. I bet none of you go on vacation, open your windows, leave your doors unlocked, and put a sign on the door that says "squatters welcome." Anybody here do that? No, of course not. We close our windows, we lock our doors, we turn on the alarms, we make sure that the lights come on at a certain time, they go off at a certain time. Why do we do that? We do it because we want to protect what's ours. We want to protect what belongs to us, right? So why is it any different? Why shouldn't we protect what is spiritually ours, what Jesus purchased for us? We should lock those spiritual doors, close those windows, and turn on the alarms so that when that squatter tries to inch his way in the door, those red flags go off. But before we can even protect ourselves like that, we need to know how we give these spiritual squatters access. What are the things we do that give the squatter access? First and foremost, we have to be vigilant. Remember that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion. So he's looking for an open door. And if you are not guarding and protecting what is yours, he will find an open door. He's vigilant. We have to be more vigilant. The other thing that the devil is really, really good at is he kind of knocks on the door and sees if you'll open for him. How does he do that? Well, someone might hurt you or offend you or insult you. And then instead of choosing to let it go, walking away, or forgiving them, you choose to let in the squatter of unforgiveness. Wow, he just knocked on the door and you opened up and said, come on in. What about when you go to the doctor and you get a report that's negative? Do you come home, think on that report, meditate on that report, believe that that's what's going to happen? Well, then you just invited that squatter in. What about if you lose your job? Does that squatter knock on the door and say, you're never going to provide for your family. You're going to lose your house. You better watch out. Well, if you entertain those thoughts, you've just let that squatter in. What about if you think, I should have been so much further along right now? The Lord gave me this promise. I'm never going to fulfill my destiny. Well, then you're just allowing depression to move in there. And you won't fulfill it because you let that squatter in. When we do not guard our heart, when we're not vigilant, and we're not protecting what Jesus purchased for us, those squatters will find an open door. And let me tell you, if you do not evict him, recognize him, and evict him immediately, he's going to want to start paying property taxes. Remember what happens when you pay property taxes? You have a legal right to be there. So, the other thing that squatters love to do is they love to invite their buddies. You never find a squatter camp with one or two houses. It may start off like that, but trust me, if you just wait long enough, there are going to be thousands upon thousands upon thousands. So let's talk about some of these squatters. Can we identify them? Do we know what they are? Let's talk about bitterness. Bitterness is resentment. It's not quite unforgiveness, but it starts with indignation and generally feeling insulted. Somebody didn't recognize me. Somebody insulted me. And bitterness will quickly invite the squatters of anger and hatred. Bitterness is going to invite hatred? You know how I know? The Bible tells me. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15, the second half of the verse says, see that no root of resentment. Let's see what the Holy Spirit calls resentment. Rancor, bitterness, and hatred shoots forth and causes trouble and bitter torment, and that many become contaminated and defiled by it. This squatter comes in just like the squatters who are camping near that water and pollutes the waters so that it's no good for anybody. That's what bitterness does. What about strife? Strife is such a subtle squatter. He's hard to recognize sometimes because we don't quite want to acknowledge that we are quarrelsome, that we combative. And his favorite place to take up occupation is in marriages. Strife looks something like this. Let's go to the 9 o'clock service. No, I want to go to the 11 o'clock service. Well, let's put the kids in children's church. No, I'm not putting them in children's church. It's the first time I've ever been here. I don't know if they're going to look after them. They will. I don't know what it's going to be like. Oh, that praise and worship is so loud. What do you mean it's so loud? I liked it. I really liked that thumping bass. Should we go out for dinner? Yes, let's go out for dinner. I want to go to In-N-Out. What, you're going to take me to In-N-Out? I want to go to, I don't know, POEs somewhere. That's what happens. There's conflict about everything. And when that conflict moves in, if you do not recognize it and kick him out immediately, he will guaranteed destroy your marriage. What about addiction? The thing about addiction, this particular squatter, is mind-altering. And so people who have these squatters, it's very hard for them to recognize these squatters. very, very hard. And the squatter of addiction invites a lot of self-destructive squatters with him. Let's see. If you have an addiction to pornography, I guarantee you that that squatter will bring in the squatter of divorce, unfaithfulness, sexual perversion, sexual abuse. What about drugs and alcohol? All those same squatters will move in right there with him, but he will bring self-destructive squatters. Their whole goal is to destroy you. That's what addictive squatters do. What about fear? Now, this squatter, he can change himself up because he will come in and then he will open the door to any squatter that you allow in. So if he brings a fear of sickness and cancer, well, then that squatter is going to move in. If he brings fear of lack, well, then you can be sure that that squatter is going to move in. If he brings fear that you're never going to be a good husband, well, then he's going to bring that squatter on in there with him. You see, when you believe negative reports, when you believe that the doctor said, you know what, you're never going to be able to conceive. You know what, I'm sorry about this. You're going to have arthritis for the rest of your life. I'm sorry to give you this report, but this is incurable. I'm sorry. Fill in the blank. The moment you believe the negative report and you meditate on that, you give that squatter the right to move in. If the squatter of lack moves in, the thing about that squatter is he takes authority over your finances. Think about it. You may have lost your job. You may not be doing very well at the moment. You may not have sold as many houses as you thought you were going to sell. And so money is tight. And so that squatter says, you better not tithe this month because you're going to run out. Or he'll say, what do you mean you're going to give to the building fund? You've got your own mortgage to pay. You can't possibly be giving out your money right now. You better hold on really tight. Now, the thing that that squatter does is he essentially cuts off the full supply that the Holy Spirit brought when he moved in. That's what he does. When you allow that squatter to control your finances, the Holy Spirit cannot supply anymore. Now, how do we stop these spiritual squatters moving in? How do we lock our spiritual doors and our windows, turn on the alarm, and protect what Jesus paid the price for? How do we do that? Number one, you need to guard your heart. Number one, guard your heart. We protect our health, we protect our peace, our wisdom, the grace, the strength, the provision, the wholeness that Jesus purchased by first and foremost guarding our heart. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. It says, keep and guard your heart with all vigilance and above all that you guard. Notice it says, all vigilant and above all that you guard. Why? Because out of it flow the springs of life. Yes, amen. If you want life flowing from your heart, you need to guard what you put into it. What are you watching? What are you listening to? What are you thinking about? If you entertain the lies from the enemy that you know what, you're going to die from this sickness, you're letting those squatters in, guys. You have to guard what you're thinking about. If you continually think about the giants in the land, the giants will defeat you. Right. Let me say this. Giants are just another word for squatters, and they're looking for a way to occupy your life. They're looking for a way, if you'll ignore them long enough, they'll pay their dues, and sooner or later they'll say, I've been paying property taxes, you're not getting rid of me, I'm here to stay. That's what happens when we don't guard our hearts. Number two, keep the word before you. So the first thing you want to do is guard your heart. Number two, you need to keep the word in front of you. When you keep your heart full of God's word, squatters will not find a way to get in. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20 says, "My son, attend to my words. Consent and submit to my sayings." Let's say it this way. Consent and do my sayings. Do what I'm saying. Let them not depart from your sight, and keep them in the center of your heart. Number three, come to church regularly and hear instruction. That's why God put pastors and teachers in the body. It is their responsibility to teach you the word, to instruct you in the word, to break down the word so that you can live victorious lives, so that you can be overcomers, so that you can recognize the squatters and kick them out. It is your responsibility, it is my responsibility to be here every single week. That's our responsibility. And let me tell you something. God has blessed us with a pastor who gets up here every single week, teaches us the word, breaks down the word, and equips us to be victorious. Let's give him a hand. He needs it. This is where you need to be every single week. And let me tell you where. I didn't just suck that out of my thumb. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 13 says, take firm hold of instruction. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let her go. Why? Guard her, for she is your life. Amen. Number four, you need to put on the armor of God. The war we are waging is not against natural enemies. It's against supernatural enemies. But the good thing is the weapons we've been given are carnal and mighty through God to tear them down. Pardon? They're not carnal, thank you. They're not carnal, but mighty through God. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, not human squatters, spiritual squatters, but with the highest principalities and authorities, more squatters, operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. They're a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits, evil squatters, that hold this dark world in bondage. Because of this, you must wear all the armor that God provides, not some. You must wear all the armor that God provides so that you're protected as you confront the slanderer. You are destined for all things and you will rise victorious. The Amplified Bible says, put on God's complete armor so that you're able to resist and stand your ground. If you've got the armor on, you can resist and stand your ground. What does this armor look like? What does our armor look like? In every battle, take faith as your wraparound shield. For it is able to extinguish the blazing arrows coming at you from the evil squatter. Take the mighty, razor-sharp, spirit sword of the spoken word of God and pray passionately in the spirit. Wow, that's what our armor looks like. Faith and the word of God and prayer. Faith, the word of God, and prayer. What do we do, though, if we discover that we already have spiritual squatters? What are we going to do now? Well, the very first step is to recognize that you have these squatters. Whether you have them through ignorance, willful disobedience, or because you haven't vigilantly guarded your heart and your life. Doesn't really matter. If you have squatters, the very first thing we have to do is recognize and acknowledge that. Now, if somebody was squatting on a property I owned, I would go to the judge and I'd have him give me an eviction order. And there would be an illegal signature on the bottom of that eviction order, which will enable me to go to the squatter, serve them this notice and say, your days are numbered, you have to leave. And they would have to go because this is a legal document. Now, we do exactly the same for spiritual squatters. We serve them a legal notice. Our legal notice is signed with the blood of Jesus. That's what it's signed with. And not only that, he said, now you go and issue this notice to them. You have the power and the authority to do it. That's what we have to do. We have the authority to serve that notice. James chapter 4 and verse 7. So be subject to God. Resist the devil. Resist those squatters. Stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. And once again, I'm going to read about that armor. Because he says in every battle, not some battles, in every battle, take faith as your wraparound shield. Don't go to battle without faith. Don't go to battle without faith, because that faith is what extinguishes the arrows. Take the mighty, razor-sharp spirit sword of the spoken word of God. Don't run at the devil with your mouth closed. Don't run at the devil with your mouth closed. Don't try and evict that squatter without opening your mouth. You see, we need to speak God's word with authority and conviction. Look that squatter in the eye, square in the eye, and say, your days are done. Here's the notice. It's time for you to flee. It is time for you to flee. So how do we deal then with the squatter of sickness? Let's say we have a squatter and, hey, I didn't realize I didn't have to have the squatter living here. I want to get rid of this sickness. Well then, you take your eviction notice. And on your eviction notice, it says Romans chapter 8, verse 11. The same spirit that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in me and quickens my mortal body. Do you see that? Okay, squatter of sickness, leave in Jesus' name. Or you could use 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes I am healed. Or even Isaiah 53. He was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and by his stripes I am healed. Now you better go. You better go. What about the squatter of lack? Well, you better be issuing Philippians 4:19 to him. But my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I sure hope that he did not persuade you to stop tithing, because then you can say, you know what, Satan, because I've brought my tithe into the storehouse, my God has opened the windows of heaven above me. He's pouring out blessing that I have not room enough to contain, and you are rebuked in the name of Jesus. And I want to tell you, you may not, shall not, cannot, will not steal the fruit of my ground in Jesus' name. When fear moves in, you evict him with 1 Timothy 2:7 or 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear. I do not have a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We just have to decide that these squatters are not welcome, that we will not tolerate them, and we kick them out by speaking God's word. On Friday, there were some wildfires around San Diego County. In fact, there were 5 fires. Andrew and I got into his truck. We went to Home Depot. And first time in the day, put on the radio, oh my gosh, the fires are spreading. The winds are blowing. It is moving. It's crossed the line. It's on its way to Scripps Ranch. Miramar is burning down. Alpine is burning. Dalzura is burning. And if you don't know, twice wildfires have come all the way to the fence line at our property. And so I listened to this, and inside this discomfort started. And so I started getting anxious. So I'm walking outside and I'm like, where's the smoke? Where's the wind? But I recognized the squatter of fear trying to come in. I recognized him. And so I went outside and I took authority over him. I said, you're a liar. No plague comes nigh my dwelling, and no weapon formed against me prospers. Now you can leave me alone in the name of Jesus. Turned off the radio, turned off the news, and I did not look again, because my God has got his angels protecting me. But we have to, he's subtle. He looks for ways to bring those squatters in. Now, for us to be effective, we have to use that word with faith. Because if there's no faith involved, remember, it's the shield of faith that quenches those darts. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Last week, God gave me this picture out of the blue. I saw a really tall, long cylinder. It was transparent. I don't know, maybe this big, maybe 12 to 18 inches in diameter. And it was super, super tall. And at the top of the cylinder was a hose pipe. And the hose pipe was just trickling water into this cylinder, just nonstop, just running at a steady rate. And the bottom of the cylinder started filling up. And the Holy Spirit said, that's the word. When the cylinder's full, faith comes out. Because you see, the word brings its own faith. When the word comes, faith comes. It's impossible not to. Now, it's entirely up to you how fast that cylinder fills up. You can turn it full blast, and that cylinder will fill up much quicker. Or you can just memorize one verse a month, come to church every now and then, and it'll take a really long time for that cylinder to fill up. But as we meditate on the word and those promises, as we fill that cylinder of our heart with the word, when it's full and faith comes out, there is no squatter in anywhere that will be able to resist the eviction notice. None. They will have to leave. When you open your mouth and you evict them with the word and with faith, they have to go. No, they don't have to go. They have to flee. That's what the word says. When I resist him, he must flee from me. Your heart and your mouth are the two most essential weapons you have to keep the squatters out. And if you recognize today that there are squatters in your life, and I guarantee you every one of us has tolerated some squatter or another. Every one of us. Serve him an eviction notice today. Rebuke him with the word and put him where he belongs, under your feet. When you speak the word, he has to flee. The word says so. The word says so. Don't be negligent. Be vigilant. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow all the forces of life that make you successful or make you an easy target. In Jesus' name, amen.